Think about what it means to fight a modern air war. The aircraft matter, of course, but the aircraft are only as effective as the network connecting them, who's talking to whom, what data they're sharing, how fast that information moves between a radar bird high above the battle and the fighters down in the weeds. That network is where air power either multiplies or collapses. And right now, Canada is building a fleet that may have a serious fracture right through the middle of it. I'm Tower. This is 80s on Radio Hangar, and today's story is about a data link the United States controls, a surveillance aircraft Canada just decided to buy, and what happens when the aircraft you purchase can't fully talk to the jets flying alongside it. Before we get into it, a quick word. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, let's talk about the Saab GlobalEye. Canada announced a purchase of the GlobalEye Airborne Early Warning and Control Aircraft. It's a significant acquisition. The GlobalEye is built on a Bombardier Global 6000 airframe, which is itself a Canadian-designed business jet. So there's a neat bit of industrial symmetry there, and it carries the Saab AirEye extended range radar system. It can track aircraft, ships, and ground targets simultaneously. It's designed to give a commander a real-time picture of a battle space and direct fighters toward threats or away from them. As airborne early warning platforms go, it's sophisticated, long-range, and highly capable. Here's what you need to know though. The GlobalEye is built around a specific tactical data link ecosystem. It's optimized to work with Saab's own aircraft, specifically the Gripen. The Saab GAS-39 Gripen. And here is where the story gets complicated. Canada hasn't officially announced a Gripen purchase. Canada's fighter replacement program, a process that has been, to put it charitably, one of the longest-running procurement dramas in Western defense history, officially selected the Lockheed Martin F-35 Lightning II. That decision came after years of evaluations, political debates, budget arguments, and false starts going back more than a decade. Canada is on contract for up to 88 35s. So you have Canada buying the F-35, and now Canada buying the GlobalEye. And analysts following the story, including reporting from Simple Flying, are reading the GlobalEye purchase as a strong signal that a Gripen buy isn't far behind. The argument goes like this. The GlobalEye and the Gripen were designed to operate together. They share a common data architecture. If you're buying the GlobalEye, you're building infrastructure that makes the most sense when you also have Gripens to fly under it, which would mean Canada ends up with two fighter types, F-35s and Gripens operating in parallel, a mixed fleet. Mixed fleets are not unprecedented. Several air forces operate more than one fighter platform. But mixed fleets create headaches. They multiply your training requirements, your maintenance pipelines, your spare parts chains, your logistics footprint. You're essentially running two air forces side by side, and every efficiency you gain from specialization gets eroded the moment you have to sustain two different aircraft. Those are the manageable problems. The harder problem is the data link. The F-35 uses a proprietary communication system called the Multifunction Advanced Data Link. Pilots and analysts shorten it to MADL, and MADL is not Link 16. Link 16 is the standard NATO tactical data link. Most Western military aircraft use it. It's the common language of coalition air operations. The F-35 can use Link 16, but Link 16 has limitations. It's not low probability of intercept, it's not low probability of detection, and in a contested environment against a sophisticated adversary, broadcasting on Link 16 can reveal your position. The F-35's whole design philosophy is built around not revealing your position. MADL is the answer to that problem. It's a directional, low probability of intercept data link that allows F-35s to communicate with each other stealthily. Point the beam. Share the picture, stay hidden. In a high-threat environment, MADL is what allows a flight of F-35s to maintain tactical awareness without advertising themselves to the enemy. The catch is that MADL is tightly controlled by the United States. It is governed under the International Traffic in Arms Regulations, the ITAR framework that controls the export of defense technology with national security implications. The U.S. decides who gets MADL and under what conditions, full stop. And the Saab GlobalEye does not have MADL. The GlobalEye was not designed around MADL. It was designed around the Gripen's communications architecture, which is a different system. So here is the operational picture Canada is potentially building. You have a fleet of F-35s, which are stealthy fifth-generation fighters that communicate via MADL. you have a GlobalEye airborne early warning platform that can't natively talk to those F-35s via MADL. And if you add Gripens to the mix, your command and control aircraft is optimized for the Gripens, but your most capable fighters are operating on a data link the command aircraft can't access. The GlobalEye can still communicate with F-35s via Link 16. That's not nothing, but Link 16 has those limitations I mentioned. In a permissive environment against a low-tech adversary, it probably doesn't matter much. In a contested environment against a near-peer threat, which is exactly the scenario these platforms are designed for, it matters enormously. You've spent billions of dollars on fifth-generation stealth fighters, and the moment they need to talk to your command and control aircraft, they either break their own low-observable posture or they operate with an incomplete tactical picture. That's not a hypothetical problem. That's a real degradation of operational effectiveness. Now, could the U.S. authorize MADL integration with the GlobalEye? Theoretically. The ITAR framework allows for exceptions when it serves American strategic interests. And Canada is a close ally, a Five Eyes intelligence partner, a NORAD partner. There's a relationship there, but the U.S. has been careful about MADL. The technology is integral to how the F-35 operates as a network system, and Washington has strong reasons to keep it tightly held. Adding MADL capability to a non-Lockheed platform operated by a country that may simultaneously be acquiring a fighter from a European manufacturer that competes directly with American defense products is a request that comes with layers of political complexity. Saab is not standing still on this. The Gripen E variant has been developed with significant improvements to its electronic warfare suite and data link capability. There is ongoing work on making Gripen more interoperable within NATO frameworks. But that interoperability is built around Link 16, not MADL. The fundamental architecture gap doesn't close without either U.S. authorization for MADL export or a next-generation data link that bridges the two worlds. Neither of those is imminent. For the GlobalEye specifically, Saab would presumably need to engineer MADL capability into the aircraft as an additional system, which would require U.S. government approval at every step of that process. Hardware integration, software integration, testing, certification, all of it under ITAR review. That's a years-long process with no guaranteed outcome. Here's the broader picture worth sitting with. Modern air power isn't just about what your aircraft can do in isolation. It's about how your aircraft function as a system. The F-35's designers understood this. The aircraft's avionics fuse information from onboard sensors, other F-35s, and offboard sources into what pilots describe as a comprehensive situational awareness picture that earlier generations couldn't have imagined. That fusion capability is part of what makes the F-35 worth its substantial price tag. But that fusion capability depends on the network. Break the network, degrade it, run it through a bottleneck, and you've compromised the aircraft's core advantage. If Canada's command and control aircraft can't fully integrate with its F-35s because of a data link gap, the F-35s are flying with less information than they were designed to use. Analysts covering this for Simple Flying note that the GlobalEye acquisition makes the most strategic sense as a precursor to Gripen. The two platforms were built to work together. If Canada is buying the infrastructure, buying the fighters that fit that infrastructure becomes the logical next step. Whether that's a conscious strategy or an emerging consequence of sequential procurement decisions is something only Canadian defense planners can answer. What is clear is that Canada is in a complicated position. It made a political and strategic commitment to the F-35. It's now acquiring a command and control aircraft built around a different fighter ecosystem. And the data link that would allow those F-35s to fully integrate with that command aircraft is controlled by a foreign government whose approval is not guaranteed. It is worth noting that Canada is not alone in navigating these tensions. Other NATO allies have dealt with interoperability gaps as they've modernized their fleets across different procurement timelines. The difference here is the scale of the investment and the specific technology involved. MADL isn't just another radio. It's the nervous system of the F-35's tactical network. Leaving it out of the command and control architecture isn't a minor gap. It's a significant operational question. What happens next is genuinely uncertain. Canada could proceed with both aircraft types and accept the interoperability limitation as a manageable constraint. The U.S. could work with Canada to find a MADL integration pathway that satisfies both operational needs and ITAR requirements. Canada could double down on the Gripen if the budget and political winds shift. Or the GlobalEye could end up operating primarily in maritime surveillance and domestic airspace roles, where its data link architecture is less relevant to the F-35 interoperability question. None of those outcomes is obvious from here. Defense procurement is slow, political, and rarely moves in a straight line. Canada's fighter saga has already proven that. What's worth watching is the data link question itself, because in every future conflict scenario Western militaries are planning for, the network is the force multiplier. Airframes matter, pilots matter, training matters. But the network is what ties it all together, and the network is where technological and geopolitical control intersects in ways that can constrain your operational freedom more than any adversary's fighter can. The headline in this story is a potential aircraft purchase. The real story is about who controls the technology that makes modern air power work. And what happens when the aircraft you're building your fleet around can't fully speak the language of the network you need it to join? For more on this, the team at Simple Flying has been covering the GlobalEye acquisition and the strategic implications in some depth. You can find Radio Hangar at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Stay ahead of your aircraft, and we'll talk again soon.